First Peter chapter 3, and we shall look at the subject of hindrances to prayer. First Peter chapter 3 verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. In verse 7, the Apostle Peter raised a very pertinent point concerning how the prayer life of a Christian husband or a Christian wife can be hindered. And that is when husband and wife are not living together in mutual respect and honor or honor of one another, not fulfilling their role or responsibility to one another according to scriptural principles. The reason is that God holds unity and harmony in the family in a very high regard, for marriage is a picture of Christ and his church. If the Christian marriage is on the rock, it shames and brings this rebuke to the church of Christ. In fact, this hindrance to prayer does not only affect the husband and wife, but their children also. And also, on a wider context, it affects the church, the community of believers. In fact, anything, including anyone, can be a hindrance to prayer. If any management of the family or lack of management is injuring the power in prayer, and there is an urgent demand for correction. And so this text would be most appropriately used to encourage Christians to diligence in family prayer or family worship. The Christian home in which there is no family worship can scarcely expect the divine blessing. If the Lord Jesus does not cover our homes with his wings, our family is like a house without a roof. If we do not seek the Lord's guidance, our household is a ship without a pilot. And unless guarded by devotion, our family will be a field without a hatch. Therefore, let us take heed the subject, or rather the neglect of family prayer, that will bring the wrath of God upon our homes and our church. Our brief meditation this evening is hindrances to prayer, and I shall apply the text to the hindrances that beset the private life of Christians in general. Our prayers may be hindered in three aspects. First, we may be hindered from prayer. Secondly, we may be hindered in prayer. And thirdly, how may our prayers be not hindered from reaching God? So first thing, Christians being hindered from prayer. First, there is such a thing, and that may happen or occur to us by our falling into a general lack, lukewarmness, or lukewarm condition in reference to the things of God. When a Christian becomes cold, indifferent, and careless, one of the first things that will suffer will be his or her devotion. Prayer is the true gauge of spiritual power. To restrain or to refuse prayer is dangerous and a deadly sign of spiritual decline. If you are a man or a woman of earnest prayer, and especially if the spirit of prayer be in you, so that in addition to certain period of supplication, your heart habitually talks with God, things are then right with you. But if this is not the case, and your prayers be hindered, there is something in your spiritual system that needs to be ejected or somewhat lacking, which ought at once to be supplied. Solomon teaches us this: keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4 verse 23. And earnest prayers are among those issues. Prayer may be hindered next by having too much to do. In this technological age, this is a very common occurrence. We have too much business for ourselves. In these days of materialism and commercialism, there is an insatiable appetite for much more, and enjoyment and pleasures for our foremost priorities. The rich man in the parable had no time for prayer, for he was busy with what? In planning new barns wherein to store his goods. But he had to find time for dying when the Lord said, "This night shall thy soul be required of thee." Beware, therefore, of the desire of other things, the corruption of riches, the greed insatiable which drives men and women into the snare of the devil. And it will do you harm enough if there be your prayers are hindered. There can be no doubt, on the other hand, prayer is hindered by having too little to do. People who have nothing to do generally expose themselves to the temptation set up by Satan. As the saying goes, the idle mind is the devil's workshop, or an idle hand is the devil's workshop. If Christians had less to do, they would pray less. But holy industry is the nurse of devotion. So then, we ought to be watchful, as we are prone to either having too much to do, or we go the other extreme of having too little to do. We need to pray for wisdom to strike a balance. Then there are Christians who are hindered from their prayers by lack of order or lack of discipline. They run all over the place. They have no daily schedule or routine, or no plan as to how they should spend their God-given time each day. Therefore, I suggest that it is a good spiritual exercise to keep a diary of how you pray each week and see how much, or rather, should I say, how little time you spend with God out of the 24 hours granted to you. A place for everything and everything in its place is a good rule for family, for students, and for business people. It will be equally useful in spirituals. Our duty should be done, but prayer must not be left undone, or our prayer shortened. Next, second lesson from this is Christians being hindered in prayer. We are aware, are we not, the same? Some of the Christians are hindered in prayer by selecting an unsuitable time and place. If you are employed by others, you must not present to God those hours which belong to your employer. You will be honoring the Lord better by being diligent in your vocation. Same for the students. If you are supposed to do your study, then you are not supposed to spend that time in prayer. There are times that are demanded of you by the necessity of family and your legitimate calling. These are already rendered to the Lord in another way. Let them be used for their own purpose. Give to God and prayer those suitable times in which you can reasonably expect to be alone, quiet, undisturbed. Of course, you can pray at your work or in school, in silent prayer in your heart and mind, and you ought to be in that spirit of supplication all the day long. But I'm now alluding to times especially devoted to supplication. And I say, choose a time and a place where you can be free from interruption. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, "Thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Matthew 6:6. Therefore, select the most appropriate time and place that your prayers be not hindered. The other hindrance most common to many Christians is worldly cares, which are frequent and most mischievous hindrances to prayer. A Christian man or a Christian woman should be most careful in the world and yet without carefulness. Christians should be careful not to sin, but as for other matters, he or she should cast his care on him who careth for you. To take everything from God's hand and to trust everything in God's hand is a blessed way of living and very helpful to prayer. What did Jesus say of the ravens and the lilies of the field? Your heavenly Father feeds them and clothes them, and will he not clothe you? Matthew 6:28-30. Therefore, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Faith gives peace, and peace leaves the soul clear for prayer. But when care comes in, it confuses the mind and puts the heart away from prayer. A heart clogged with care is like a man trying to swim with heavy clothes on. He must get them off if he hopes to swim to shore. Brethren, let us therefore tear ourselves away from our excessive worldly engagement that easily drowns us. Let us plead for more grace and less worry, more power in praying and less hoarding, more intercession and less speculating. As it is, prayers are sadly hindered. Furthermore, prayer can be hindered in three other ways. If we dishonor God, the Heavenly Father, to whom we pray, or God the Son, through whom we pray, or God the Holy Spirit, by whom we pray. And this can take place by the Christian's inconsistency of life. If the children of God are disobedient to the Heavenly Father's will, they must not wonder if they find it hard to pray. You cannot pour out your heart acceptably unless you believe in your Heavenly Father. If you have a cold heart towards God and a lack of reverence for his name, your lack of faith and reverence will strangle your prayers. So, brethren, if we be wrong with Jesus through whom we pray, if we are in any measure self-righteous, if we delight in self and forget our Savior, if we fancy that we can do without the Lord Jesus, if therefore we pray like complacent Pharisees, our prayers will be hindered. If we are not like our Savior, if we do not make him our example, if we have none of his loving spirit, above all, if we crucify him afresh by our sin and put him to an open shame, and if we are ungrateful for the blessings we have already received, our prayers will be hindered. So likewise with the Holy Spirit, true prayer is not so much our intercession as the Spirit of God making intercession in our behalf. If we grieve the Spirit, he will not help us to pray. If we attempt to pray for something that is contrary to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's gracious, loving nature, we cannot expect him to enable us to pray in contradiction to the mind of God. Take care, therefore, that we wax not the Spirit of God in any way, especially by shutting our ears to his gentle warnings, his loving calls, his earnest pleading, his tender warning. For if we turn a deaf ear to the divine comforter, he will be speechless to us. He will not help us to pray if we will not yield to him in submission. Our final lesson is Christian being not hindered. In other words, we want to consider how may our prayers be not hindered from reaching or ascending to God? How are we to prevent hindrances to our prayers? First, there must be holy living in a believer. If his or her prayers are greatly to succeed with God. Listen here. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. So note that point. It is of a righteous man. Jesus says in John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. There is an if. If you do not do Christ's will, he will not do your will. Obedience should have its reward in prayer. For it is written, the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Proverbs 10:24. But not the desire of the wicked. Therefore, first get yourself washed in the fountain of the atoning grace and have your hearts cleansed by the Holy Spirit, or else you cannot succeed in prayer. The blind man whom Jesus healed most truly said this, if any man doeth his will, him he heareth. John 9:31. In addition to obedience, there must be faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man expect that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please God in prayer or in anything else. It is the very backbone, nerves, and muscles of intercession. Furthermore, for prayer to reach God, there must be fervor and importunity. There must be earnestness, intensity, the outpouring of the heart before God. You must only have this resolve in your heart. What is that resolve? The will of the Lord be done, and you will succeed. There must be, next, a desire for God's glory. We must earnestly desire what we ask because we believe it will glorify God to give it to us. If we are wholly living unto God, our prayers will run side by side with his purposes, and none of them will fall to the ground. The psalmist says in Psalm 34:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. The Lord grant to us, brethren, as Christian believers, to walk with God in the power of his Spirit, resting alone on Jesus, and may he make each one of us mighty in prayer. A man whom God has taught to pray mightily is one with God's mind and is God's hand moving among the sons of men. When he acts, God acts in him. He must, however, be careful and watchful, for the Lord is a jealous God and most jealous where he loves most. God grant to us, brethren, to walk humbly with God and to live near to him, that our prayers be not hindered. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks to thee for this brief meditation from thy word. And we pray that, Lord, indeed you will grant us grace that we may walk aright with thee, that thou will help us, especially now, Lord, as we go into a season of prayer, that we will search our own hearts. For we know, Lord, from your word, if we regard iniquities in our hearts, you will not hear us. So therefore, forgive us of our sins, cleanse us anew by thy shed blood, and sanctify us, thy people, by thy Holy Spirit, and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.